Real peace is possible in the Middle East, as difficult as that is to imagine. But the first necessary immediate step towards that peace requires Israel to now take military action in Rafah, take the type of military action it has so far refused to take in Rafah, and follow it up with proper military action in the rest of Gaza and in the West Bank. Welcome to the Daily Objective. It is day 176 of the war in Israel. I'm joined by Daniel. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, Razi.
Since we've been covering nothing but the war for 6 months, there are times when we've repeated stuff that we've already covered, and this is one of those things. And the weird thing is, we're repeating it, and we're repeating the same call for action that the Israeli government is kind of, at least in rhetoric, agreeing with us on, but not so far in its own actions. So, yeah, your initial thoughts on Rafah, on where things stand now, and what we can reasonably hope for or should hope for.
I mean, so I checked back, like when the discussion about Rafah even started. So on February 2nd, there was the first talks about the invasion of Rafah after declaring victory in Khan Yunis. Then on February 8th, Netanyahu told to the IDF that they should prepare for the invasion. And then it took 10 days until February 8th to basically say we are not going in yet. We will go on Ramadan, or rather, if the hostages are not released by Ramadan, we will go in. Ramadan started on March 10th. Today it's March 30th. And of course, nothing happened on Ramadan. No negoti There were some negotiations, but the peace talks or any sort of negotiations broke down. No deal was made, yet IDF still hasn't attacked. And most recently, on March 7th, Netanyahu also stated Israel was planning ahead for its Rafah offensive, but again, nothing was done still. So we're still waiting for it to happen. I'm still hoping it will happen, although I'm increasingly becoming unsure. But of course, unless Rafah is invaded and all of Gaza is brought under control, there is no resolution to this conflict. So what do you think, Razi? Should we expect the invasion to happen any day now?
So I've said in the past couple of weeks, I no longer believe it's going to happen. I've said from October 7th about what I expect to happen and not to happen. I hope I'm wrong about all of it, but unfortunately, I've been right more than I've been wrong. Israel told the people of the north of Gaza to evacuate within 24 hours at some point in October, and it took weeks later before any military action happened. Here, it has taken much longer, and of course, Israel is unfortunately, taking the position that when it happens, they will have a plan to evacuate the civilian population. So civilians will be fine, will not pay the price for the crimes committed in their name and with their support. We've heard in the early months of this military operation that Israel had a relatively fewer casualties than would have been expected, and I really hate hearing that because hundreds of soldiers have died unnecessarily, and I think it could be if Israel actually goes on a ground operation in Rafah, Hamas, every minute that passes, Hamas is preparing more and more, and we don't know what they're preparing. But we know that they prepared a lot in the rest of Gaza, so I don't think the death toll is low. I think it's much higher than it should have been. Perhaps soldiers would have died if the right operation had taken place. But one of the things that have come up in recent days was the operation, the ongoing operation in Shifa Hospital, where many terrorists have been killed by the IDF, and many have been captured by the IDF. And this operation is one of those moments where the military success of Israel shows its moral failures, because Israel had already operated in Shifa Hospital, had supposedly done what needed to be done and then left, and then the terrorists came back. So Israel has two ways of operating. Either they tell terrorists we're about to bomb your building so the terrorists can escape and all you bomb is an empty building, or they go into a building and soldiers died unnecessarily in that operation. Every terrorist who died in the recent operation would have died had Israel bombed the hospital, but none of the soldiers would have. Now, yeah, they captured terrorists. There's great value to that in terms of intelligence, but even that value would be lower if Israel actually said, you know what, Hamas, with the support of the Palestinian people, did what they did on October 7th, and if we want to make sure that it never happens again, and we want real peace to be a possibility, the rest of the world now has with Germany and Japan, we need a complete destruction of not just the military capabilities of Hamas, which Israel is nowhere near destroying, but also of the culture itself that requires people to kill Jews and to strive for that and for nothing else.
So something that surprised me about the Al-Shifa hospital is the first time I read the story that Hamas is there again and IDF is operating there again. I thought I like misread. I'm like, okay, this is Shifa hospital. In the couple months ago it was Al-Shifa hospital. I thought it's like two different buildings. So just the fact that yeah, IDF was there already, IDF secured or at least said they secure all of North Gaza, and now Rafah is the last bastion, the last stronghold that they have to capture, and now they have to go back and recapture the places that they already did. I mean, what, yeah, when is Israel actually going to finish this war? I mean, obviously the West doesn't want this war to ever finish, or rather it doesn't want to finish in the way that Israel would actually fully defend itself. But I'm suspecting, well, Israel, we talked about Israel is alone. Well, if it is, will it finally like do what is necessary? I mean, increasingly, like just recently, because Israel is losing, and from the start it had barely any allies, but is losing any support that it had. I mean, even recently I saw Germany is considering restarting its donations to UNRWA. I mean, come on, like Israel is on a time clock, or the only way it wouldn't be on a time clock if it was confident enough to basically don't care about what the West thinks of Israel and basically finally goes in Rafah and ends this, bloody conflict.
Yeah, I mean, the question is, now that Israel is alone, really, will it do what needs to be done? No, Israel will continue doing the opposite of what needs to be done, which is pandering to the West. And again, we said on October 7th, October 8th, we were here every single day. Go back, watch those episodes. I think it was October 9th, right, that we had the episode titled Why Israel Can't Win. And the point we were making in that show was Israel can't win, not because it doesn't have the military capabilities, because it has the military capabilities to end that war within a matter of, days, if not hours, but it doesn't have the moral backbone to do what's right. And of course, well, thank you, Jonathan, for the super chat. Thank you, Bonnie, for the super chat. Thank you, Iron Meerkat, for the super chat. Iron Meerkat says, Gaza de Lenda Est. And yes, that is all there is to it. That is what should have happened. Gaza should have been destroyed, and destroyed for real, not destroyed in the way the North. So you mentioned, Rafah is now the only stronghold. It's not the only stronghold, because they're not just back in Shifa. They're back everywhere where Israel was. They're back. Now they're back, and they have, less comfortable living arrangements, because many of the buildings have been destroyed, which is good. It's very nice imagery. The imagery from the north of Gaza is beautiful. It is the image of justice. But real justice means the people who murdered your people, who said they will keep doing it again and again until there is no one left to kill. You must prevent them from doing that. And preventing them from doing that is not preventing them from having a roof over their head. They can survive without a roof over their head, and they'll rebuild those roofs. Preventing them from killing you means preventing them from ever acting again in any way, i.e., killing them.
I mean, yeah, I mean, what, Like, you mentioned how we are starting to repeat ourselves, but Israel just is still not doing what has to be done to finally end this conflict. Oftentimes I talk about the idea of like a perpetual conflict, and oftentimes from the West, people are talking about, the war in Ukraine, the war in Israel. It goes on for too long. It doesn't have an end in it. The Israel-Palestinian conflict doesn't have an end in it. Yeah, of course. If you don't actually recognize you are at war, if you don't actually recognize what needs to be done, of course you're gonna be in a perpetual conflict. If you're gonna do this, because it's not like IDF has been doing nothing in Rafah. IDF has been bombing Rafah. Pretty much, from what I've seen, every day there's been some casualties in Rafah. But again, similar to what they do in the north, they do bomb Hezbollah. They do sometimes kill either even Hamas operatives in Lebanon, in South Lebanon, or Hezbollah high officials. But again, it's this sort of like we're not. We will do something. We will go in somewhat. We will bomb them somewhat. But they will never do what actually needs to be done to finish this conflict. And that is what perpetuates this conflict. That is what will make this, basically, when will we finish? I mean, I'm trying to remember. I think there was, I think and remember Netanyahu said that once they actually go in Rafah, it should take about 2 months. Well, how long do we have to wait until they actually go in? And is this true? Will it actually take just 2 months? Which at least to me seems crazy for, just one city to take 2 months. But I'll take that. I'll take anything over, not actually finishing this conflict.
Yeah, and again, we don't know what's waiting there, but we know it's bad. And the title for this episode wasn't ironic or sarcastic. This is very much the case. There is no if Israel could now destroy just the military capabilities of Hamas and then move out and do whatever, leave it to whoever. This will absolutely not bring peace because there is complete consensus among the Palestinians, despite whatever disagreements they have amongst themselves. The one thing they don't disagree on is the killing of Jews until there is no more Israel. So you can't have peace with somebody who would rather die than see you live. And that is the Palestinian way. And that is what Israel has been continuously pandering to. And again, something we've talked about for many decades. Israel keeps negotiating, keeps taking steps towards what the Palestinians supposedly would agree to accept in exchange for allowing the Jews to live. And what Israel gets is more killing of its own citizens. So yes, the targets need to be beyond military. They need to be similar to what happened with Germany. With Germany, it wasn't just military targets. It was very much civilian targets. It was breaking the will of the people to continue in the way that they set upon before World War II. And you can rebuild military capabilities, but if you know that nothing is worse than continuing in the path that you've taken because the people you are targeting will actually defend themselves by whatever means necessary, you reconsider.
Yeah, and here is something really important to also consider, because best case scenario, or the most hopeful scenario, is that IDF will go into Rafah and will occupy all of Gaza. But the problematic thing is that IDF already did occupy Gaza once, and it did not do enough to basically completely pacify the region. A couple days ago, we talked about the American occupation of Japan and the similarities between the occupation of Gaza, and one of the big difference was that American occupation was over present. You could see Americans on the streets. You could see American military all over the place. You couldn't basically escape the image of you are now under occupation and you have to change. That didn't happen in Gaza. Basically, IDF was very careful to not show their presence, to not show that they are here. And problematic thing that is happening right now is, even if occupation will happen, will the IDF actual have the actual means of completing that occupation? And is it setting the right ground for it? Because we've already seen in the places they are already occupying, the Hamas members keep popping up. And again, occupation is not just, you destroy the military, you come in and you do something. It has to be powerful. You really have to show how defeated they are. And if you don't do it, then we are just in for another 40 years of Gaza occupation, or 30 years, that will not lead anywhere.
Yeah, and we were talking also in the early months of the war about something that still exists to some extent, but less and less, which is the difference between where the Israeli people stand and where the Israeli government stands. Because the Israeli people in the early days were united around Iron Meerkat's repeated call to destroy Gaza, which of course we agree with. And that has changed. I'm looking today at Ynet, which I think is the biggest news website in Israel, and I saw a headline. The headlines change often, but the headline at some point was a call by I think it was the mother of a hostage to remove Netanyahu, to end the war, to do whatever. And I completely understand people whose loved ones are in Gaza saying, I don't care, fuck everybody else. I want my loved ones out of that hellhole. And knowing that they're there held by these animals, I completely understand anybody like that. What I don't understand is the media campaigning for the enemy, because a ceasefire means that Hamas wins. A ceasefire means Hamas continues to exist, continues to plan the next operation. It means, enough has been done to make it a bit more difficult for them at the moment from Gaza, not so much from the West Bank, but it is a victory. It's a massive victory for Hamas, a ceasefire now. And yet, the Israeli media is more and more taking steps in that direction. But yeah, I think the morale in Israel, unfortunately, is also Israel is the Israeli people are in more and more playing into Hamas's hands. They are more and more accepting the idea of negotiations, which of course is why Hamas terrorists risked their lives, risked achieving the killing of more Jews in order to bring hostages back, because they know that Israel will release more terrorists, and give up the legitimate aims of the war. But yeah, I look at the way the Israeli people look at this, and unfortunately, I see this as not going in the direction that we're advocating for, and going in a direction that guarantees more war, guarantees more deaths of Israelis, guarantees that future terrorists are being emboldened at the moment.
Yeah, so I have a friend from Ukraine, and I could see the similar thing in her. After 2 years of a war, this sort of like tiredness, exhaustion, and basically calling all sides evil. Yeah, Putin is obviously evil, Russia is evil for invading Ukraine, but this sort of skepticism about Zelensky and the government. And the similar thing, yeah, you can see in Israel. People are becoming skeptical of government. People increasingly are being distrustful, and something you mentioned, the calls for ceasefire. I mean, that's what always happens. That's what they start with. I mean, first they kill Jews and then they call for ceasefire. And you saw the pro Hamas people basically called for ceasefire at the latest, like a week after, but at the best cases, or like the most pro Hamas cases, they called on the day off, as at the same time as Hamas were still killing people in Israel. People were already calling for ceasefire. I mean, it reminded me, I'm not sure if you ever watched this sport, if I can call it that, of people slapping each other. And it reminded me, you give a slap someone and then you, okay, I'm retiring from, I'm not playing anymore. I mean, like, again, what is this? You attack someone and call for ceasefire right after? I mean, it's clear what calls for ceasefire are actually going to achieve. And I'm not sure if you want to chime in, but I have one point. So one point I always make is, okay, Because someone might be asking, okay, why are the calls for ceasefire? Why do the people have this sort of disconnection that they might believe Israel has a right to defend itself, but are thinking the casualties are too high, we should have a ceasefire, we should allow humanitarian aid in. And it's this disconnection between basically complete disbelief that cause and effect exists, basically that, you know, these people, they have elected Hamas. They allowed Hamas to completely purge any sort of opposition in Gaza. They refused to stand up against Hamas for, what was it, 16 years. And they celebrated on the streets during October 7th and participated in some cases. And now we should basically separate them, like civilians or people of Gaza, the Palestinians, are different from Hamas. No, they are Hamas. They do support it. And even when you check polls, they do still have the support.
Yeah, and Israel again, actually, in the early days of this war, Israel in rhetoric, not in their actions, did the right thing. They said there will be no aid until all the hostages are released, which is a way of saying yes, you will get food, you will get electricity, you'll get whatever you need, as long as you stop being savages, like right now, immediately, stop being savages. Not difficult. The Palestinian people don't want to stop being savages. They are savages by choice, and unfortunately, Israel treats them as humans. And is again, the fact that this week there were still rockets fired from Gaza at Israel shows the failure of Israel's military operation. Now, you mentioned Ukraine. There's a big difference between Israel and Ukraine. Ukraine is doing as much as it can do. I mean, but right before Russia invaded, nobody would have assumed that Ukraine could do as much as it has done so far, just in pushing back the Russian army. Israel is doing nowhere near as much as it can do. Because again, if it did, the military capabilities of Hamas and Fatah and Hezbollah would have been gone at some point in October. Hezbollah is a bit, is not a bit, is much stronger, so that would have required more effort, but. That is stuff that Israel is capable of. And again, knowing what is coming next is not difficult. History teaches lessons very clearly, especially when you're dealing with exactly the same people. What happened on October 7th from Gaza will happen again from the West Bank. And then Israel will go on some military operation there and will be accused of genocide before the operation even starts. And the same will happen from the north. And Hezbollah, again, much stronger, can do a lot more damage from the north. And Israel will be accused of genocide on day one again. By the way, Jeremy Corbyn was one of those people who tweeted a call for a ceasefire on October 7th in the afternoon, which is as clear a statement as you can get that what this person wants is the extermination of the Jews. What he wants is the Palestinian people doing what the Palestinian people, the only thing that they want to do, which is to finish the job that Hitler started. And one of the reasons, as we've been saying, that this is all we're covering on the channel is not just the fact that Hamas did what they did, which should not have come as a surprise to anybody, but the fact that in the West, we have these people within our countries, and we treat them not as we treat, flat earthers or random junkies under a bridge. We treat them as if they're not just a legitimate part of the conversation, but they are leading the conversation. So we're in a very, very bad situation here all over the world, not just in Israel. And just like the Palestinians can wake up tomorrow and say we're no longer going to be savages, Israel can wake up tomorrow and say we're no longer going to be altruists, and we will start the actual peace process, which is the destruction of Rafah, and then moving on to the rest of Gaza and to the West Bank. And maybe the world will, some of the world will look at that and say, you know what? Well done. And yeah, standing up for civilization is actually a good thing.
I mean, so you mentioned David Cameron, and something you see, when it comes to criticism of Israel, which essentially is just true hatred. I mean, it's never about, following what is right. It's never about, even having some standard. It's always, We hate Israel, we hate Jews, and how do we achieve its destruction? And currently, the most popular thing is the international law. But when you actually challenge anyone about the international law, I mean, there's from the Finkelstein debate, when it was asked, well, what do you think about the Houthis attacking merchant ships, which is against the international law? He said, no, it doesn't matter. Why should he care? Because Houthis attacking merchant ships helps the Palestinians, and it hurts Israel, so he will support it. And it's this way with pretty much anything. You can come up with you can come up with cases for Israel even with international law. I mean, even when it comes to the idea of human shields, it's the Hamas that is using the human shields. It is not on Israel to protect every single civilian. Hamas has a responsibility to protect its civilians according to international law. No one cares because this doesn't help them achieve what they want to do.
Yeah, the thing with international law, back when I used to agree to talk to those people who call themselves anarcho-capitalists, I would hear about how, in an anarcho-capitalist society, you would have different governments competing with each other. The problem with that, as with international law, is you sign up to it and the other side doesn't. So, imagine if somebody actually brought a case against Hamas for October 7th to one of these courts. Do you
Yeah,
think they would
you
actually go
well, you
there?
can't because Hamas is not a signatory to the international law, so you
That,
literally
well,
can't even take them to the court.
exactly. And that's all that one needs to know about international law. It's not actual law. It's not like you have in a country where you have, a set of laws, good or bad, usually mostly bad, but you know what they are. International law is not clear at any level. Which is, by the way, why you can look at this conflict where, genocidal maniacs started a war and say, well, those who are trying to prevent the genocidal maniacs from achieving their stated and repeatedly stated goal, they are committing genocide. You have that in the kind of whole apparatus that it is set up, and you have that in the special definitions of words like genocide that very much cater to this idea that self-defense, by the way, again, with the actual definition of the word, if Israel did flatten Gaza and kill everybody there, it would not be genocide. It would be, a legitimate military response to October 7th. And, but that is, we can, I don't think we can even hope for anything remotely close to that. Israel apologizes when it kills sometimes actual terrorists or at least their families, let alone those who seem to be actual civilians. But we here on this channel are going to talk about what the right thing is, even when nobody else will, and certainly nobody will do it. Any final thoughts, Daniel?
I don't think I have. I mean, it's just the points that I always say. Israel has to do what it's necessary, or this conflict will go on. Israel is the only, basically, Israel is the only one who can end this conflict, and it's on Israel to choose which way it will go. If it will actually, go into Rafah and do the occupation right. We might see some sort of peace in the Middle East, although you still have Iran, which is problematic. Or Israel will never be strong enough, never will actually try to end it, and maybe eventually will fall if it's not actually going to defend itself. It's on Israel at the end of the day.
Yeah, and of course tomorrow we have the reality show. We're going to talk about troll comments, but one of our most obsessive trolls, who's here every single day, says this channel is offensive and harmful. And I think if we are not offensive to people who support a society where gay people are thrown off of buildings, where any opposition, anybody suspected of opposition is killed, where women are at best second class citizens, and where the entire goal of the society is to murder as many people and to commit genuine genocide. If you support that and we are not offending you, we are doing something wrong. but we're not doing anything wrong because we are offending you, and we will continue to offend the likes of you, and continue to stand up for civilization and against savagery. Thanks, Daniel. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Like, share, subscribe if you're not subscribed, and comment. That helps with the algorithm and helps more people see this content, maybe reconsider their position, or at the very least, be offended if they deserve to be offended. We're back here tomorrow with the Daily Objective and the Reality Show Extra for YouTube members. We'll see you then.